with bagpipes in the background, we know we're at the Edinburgh Fringe and we're in Freestival at the Thistle Hotel. And I'm with Judith Amsenger and Jules Munns, who essentially do everything at something called Nursery. And we're going to find more about that in a moment. But what I'm interested in always is how ideas are born. So I don't know who wants to take this one, but take me to the moment when Nursery as a concept was cooked up.
Well, the Nursery, is it 6 years ago, Judith? Something like that. The Nursery's gone through three iterations. First as a... it was first a festival a couple of years after we graduated drama school, and then we took over the location where the festival was happening, and now we're in our kind of third incarnation where we don't have a performance space in London at the moment, but we're doing stuff at the Edinburgh Festival, and we're doing some programming Fridays and Saturdays at the Edric Theatre in Borough, and running a bunch of classes and workshops. I realise I haven't answered your question. So the name of the Nursery was born in a pub up by Angel, where we were trying to come up with the name of something that implied a place that would support new ideas and enable them to grow. So we sat around for about 3 or 4 hours brainstorming names, and the Nursery eventually was the one that won out.
And I guess play as well.
Play. Yes, we lean towards plant nurseries rather than baby nurseries, okay. But it kind of resonates in the background. All our branding is plants and leaves and things. That's, you can see on Judith's T-shirt right there.
So, okay, so there's the concept for it. And then why did you take the insane decision to bring it to the Edinburgh Fringe?
Because why not? We were good friends with Al Cowie, who until recently was part of the Freestival team, and then been discussion of an improv-specific venue on the Fringe, because there's so much improv up here. It's crazy, like 80 shows a day or something ridiculous. And when Freestival said, would you like to look after a venue and do the programming, we said, well, hell, why not? Let's give it a try. It was quite late on the day this year, so we were scrambling to get everything organised in the sort of 2.5-3 months since we actually found out we were doing it.
I mean, I guess that's part of it too, that it's surprising it hasn't happened before, but there's a lot of improv at the Fringe. It makes sense to bring at least some of it together, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think so, and it's a really good sort of showcase of all kinds of different forms of improv. And I think it's very important that people can just... It's like a sort of DVD box set. You can just come here, stay all night if you want, you know, pop out for a drink, and see a range of very different improv. We have sci-fi, we have improvised Shakespeare, we have love stories, we have... Well, everything, really. It felt like a natural step to have one venue to sort of bring stuff together.
There's also, if I can jump in, there's also something which the Fringe, which a lot of improv communities do really well and which the Fringe does less well, which is community. I think a lot of improv cities, the social aspect and the fact that you go and see your friends' shows and then you go and see the people you respect shows and you take their classes, there's a kind of a virtuous circle between classes, shows and rehearsals, and that's something which the Fringe is not really able to do, because the big big shows like Showstoppers and Ostentatious, they're absolutely fantastic and extraordinary shows, but there isn't that sense of a place to hang out and be with other improvisers afterwards. That's what we want to provide, and that's what Thistle Hotel have been wonderful in kind of looking after us. And we have this nice bar here where there's normally about 4 other people apart from the improvisers and performers, which is a really, it's almost like a haven away from the Fringe than a place on the Fringe.
I guess you've already partly answered this, Judith. You talked about the different shows here. Anyone that thought, if we take the Nursery metaphor, that there's one plant that you're growing called improv. Mm. I mean, this garden is just loaded with exotic plants, isn't it?
Yes. Do you mean exotic plants as in all kinds of different...
For anyone thought it's just about suggestions from the audience, if you look at the programme that's on here, I mean, from morning till night, we range theatre, cabaret, comedy, thriller, horror, music, it's all here, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And tonight, for instance, we also have a Nursery Presents slot at the end of the night. And tonight there's stand-ups from all over the Fringe who come here, and we are going to let them improvise. So we'll see how that goes. It is a wild garden, a wild and beautiful garden. And hopefully, because it's so much fun and it's so great to see people really enjoying and loving the space as well, it's really good for improv. And hopefully next year we can make this garden even bigger and more exotic.
You know, you talk about showstoppers and everyone goes kind of incredible, but, you know, I'm just going to challenge slightly. Is there a danger that this stuff becomes formulaic and you actually need things like nursery to be trying the new stuff out? Because it feels to me in the main fringe, it's all got very, very kind of corporate and they've all got the same T-shirt and it's rather formatted.
I mean, I'd say that's kind of the case with every art form, though. I don't think that's specific to improv. When you have money, I think most art forms start out as an unfunded, punky, fringy type of thing. And then when money and producers and investment come along, then inevitably there's the request for a guarantee that something is... I don't know even necessarily really about quality of the product, but the same... feeling of the product that night after night you can go back and see something which is comparable, and honestly, I mean, I love what the showstoppers do, and we have a couple of the showstoppers in shows down here. I think I don't really necessarily believe in this metaphor in economic terms, but when we say a rising tide lifts all boats, the fact that people like Ostentatious and Showstoppers and Upstairs Downton is another hugely successful improv show. Are attracting such huge audiences, licenses people to think, oh, maybe improv is all right. Because even 3 or 4 years ago, I would think a huge proportion of people who come and see stuff at the Fringe would just expect it to be 3 or 4 university graduates in their 20s in check shirts in a room above a pub. And there is that chunk of improv, but like you say, the rich garden of all the other stuff is watered, if you like, by the big shows kind of raising the profile of the art form around that side.
So I'll take that. So yeah, so the water's going up for everybody. Yeah. But I guess what you're trying to do here is, if you just look at the sheer variety, that variety isn't to be found outside of this venue as much. So it does seem to be a bit of a seedbed for new stuff. Mm. And even in experimenting with the format itself. So we've just seen impromptu Shakespeare, and then, you know, there's some people doing some stuff around relationships, more long form stuff in later stuff. You know, there's nothing predictable about what's in this programme, is there?
No, absolutely not. You just sort of answered what I would have liked to have said about the question, to be honest. But yeah, there's a massively wide variety, and it's nice to be able to call all of those things improv, because I've had a couple of experiences with audience members in the past where they said, oh, I saw improv once, didn't like it, which is kind of like saying, oh, I saw a film once, didn't like it. It's like it's ridiculous to write off an art form by a single example, but people will do that with smaller art forms, and I've heard people do it about stand-up as well and about sketch. So the hope is that we'll, you know, if you don't like horror films, then maybe you like dramas. You know, like dramas, maybe you like a comedy, and it's the same thing with improv. It's not one thing. It can be almost anything, really.
What's the specific, you know, maybe advantages and disadvantages of the free format for improv and having all the shows free and kind of, you know, the bucket on the way out? Does that largely work for the format here?
Yeah, I think so. Because it's such an art form that people are still getting used to, you know, besides the big shows, I think it's a very good way to expose, to attract audiences. I think it is a good way to, and then later on maybe people grow and go to the paid fringe, but it's also, I don't know, it sort of fits the whole community spirit as well. Like, if you liked it, just support us a little bit. If you liked it a lot, support us a lot. It's a very... Yeah, free-flowing, it's suitable for improv.
And, I mean, push me back on this one a bit, but one of the criticisms of UK improv has been that it's kind of shoulders up, it's very clever in the head and lots of ideas and gags. Is there physical theatre-type improv happening here?
Not in the sense of purely physical clowning stuff. I actually don't think that shoulders-up improv is necessarily... a stereotype of British improv. I think it's kind of a stereotype of inexperienced and lower quality improv. Because I've seen Americans and Canadians and Australians do heads-up-y improv because they're new to it, and because when you're scared, you don't want to move so much. So although we don't have anything which is kind of clowning or... there's a wonderful show a couple of years ago, an improvised silent movie that some Italian guys brought over, which was, yes, they were great. I love those guys. So not in its kind of pure form, but I do think there's a lot of the shows use physicality quite heavily, and certainly big character stuff is, it's just a, It's just a consequence of good improv rather than British improv, I think.
Final two questions, one to each of you. I'm going to start with Judith. So when you're sitting at the back watching one of these shows and what's going through you is, I'm loving this, what are you loving?
I've dabbled in improv myself. I'm trained as a script adapter, so to say. Just the sheer imaginativeness of it all. I mean, we have Pea Blossom Cabaret and they make up songs on the spot about audiences' lives. And it's all different, you know, it's a rap, it's a pirate song. So how their brain works is sort of mind-boggling and blowing. And just the fun also. A lot of the time you see that people are just enjoying themselves so much on stage. And it's so good. Yeah, and then that creates an atmosphere in the room that's really heartening and just fun. Yeah.
We're getting the fun message here, which is good. And it probably segues, though, into the final question, which is, Fringe Review is no fan of pitching, but we are fans of invites. So for the people that haven't dabbled in an improv show or come down to the Thistle, which is just minutes from the Royal Mile to get to, can you issue an invite to people to come down to the nursery?
Wow. It's been my morning flowering, and then you put me on the spot. We have an extraordinary variety of stuff, much of which you wouldn't be able to find anywhere else on the Fringe. We're very close to the centre of town, and our shows are short, punchy, and damn good. So even if you think you have no business in an improv show, come give us a try, and the worst you're going to lose is 35, 40 minutes of your life. Wow, that was negative.
You can have a bit more if you want.
Well, I'll say a bit more. For full listings of all the shows that we have on, please go to thenurserytheatre.com and you'll see everything you would want to see ever.
And I'll just finish. I don't work for these people, but you could come down here and spend the day and the evening. So from Nursery, thanks very much indeed.
Thank you.